Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show this morning. Okay, it's going to be just a few minutes, and we will be coming to you live with Mr. Terry Benjamin. Mr. Terry Benjamin, if you are on the line, do not go away. Stay right there. Those of you calling in, hold on, do not go anywhere. We'll be coming to you in just a moment. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Okay. All right, we're in. Well, this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday morning, as all Tuesdays for the past. Tuesdays for some time now, we have been, we've been coming to you live with Mr. Terry Benjamin, talking about being, now where is, okay, so reason, my, where are we at here, okay, let's see, maybe we're not signed into the right. Trying to get into the right. Okay, there we are. Go to the Lisa show. Let's see. Stay right with us. Don't go anywhere. Having a little bit of technical difficulty. Okay, there it is. That's the problem. A little bit of problem signing in, but I think we have resolved that issue. You know, that's just like problems, right? They come, but guess what? They come only so that we can resolve them. I learned that a long time ago as a young woman growing up in Cincinnati, Ohio, a place where I frequented at that time. There used to be a sign up. Well, someone had painted a quote or a saying on the wall, and the saying said that all problems had a solution. So I'm so happy that I did learn that as a young woman. But we're live, we're on the air. Mr. Benjamin, you are on with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I often say we have to learn how to work this technology. So there are sometimes glitches in the system. But, you see, I think one of the virtues in life is certainly patience. Patience. So here we are. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome. Welcome to all our listeners. Good morning. Welcome to those of you who will listen, who will tune in via the chat room, those who will dial in, and those who are on the computer somewhere, somehow. You know, there's about 9 ways to tune in to Blog Talk Radio. And we thank, we want to give a shout out to the radio station. Blog Talk Radio is an international, global radio station with listeners in the hundreds and hundreds of thousands. And so we thank God for the few that tune in to this show each and every morning. So Mr. Benjamin, author of Sexy at 60, is it going? You know, I met some more people, and I told them about your book. And
Great.
Well, I told them about the movie. She says, well, I definitely think they should interview, I think it was her grandmother, actually. And I says, well, I can, you know, you give me their name. I can, you know, pass your name on to Mr. Benjamin. But I did. I was said, you know, there's a lot of people that know someone or have someone that they're connected to that they say are living sexy at 60. So what do you have new to share with us today?
Well, again, I'm glad that you started with that because I think that's so important. I think a lot of times people think that we're done at a certain age, that our life is finished, and we're supposed to just wait for death. I disagree with that. I think that as long as you live, you have opportunity to pursue your passion and also to improve your life. It's interesting, you know, I think, you know, good minds or great minds think alike, and I'm looking at your Facebook page, and I'm looking at that cover of the book, You've Got the Power. And I love that idea. That thought is beautiful.
You know, thank you very much. That was done by a woman, graphic artist by the name of Navy Hughes. She's from New Jersey, but she now lives in Dallas or somewhere down in Texas. And she, yes, and she put that together as she did some other covers and flyers that she's very good. And it's actually, you know, I haven't turned it into a book yet, but, you know, you always sparking ideas within. Right now, it's. Well, right now it's a CD. It's a CD right now. But, you know, who knows, before the end of next year, it may very well be a book.
Well, it probably will. But, you know, I think one of the things, just to begin the discussion today, basically I'm talking about moving to the next level, you know, taking the lead in your life and developing strategies for getting more of what you want right now. And one of the things I started doing in my publishing company, many times I started writing on a book, but I told my partner, I said, Bobby Fox, I said, you know, I want you to, you know, talk to our graphic artist, and I want him to actually do the book cover. Now, I understand the book hasn't been finished, but I want the book cover done. And then what I would do is I would put the book cover someplace on my desk where I could see it, and everything I'm doing is really making me feel that book has already been done. So all
I can just
sort of walk toward it, that's all.
You know, it's so funny you would say that, because I don't share this with a whole lot of people, but now I'm about to share it with the world. But you know, Terry, I have on my computer about at least 9 to 10 book covers.
Wow.
That I've done in, you know, like a pre-advanced sort of thing.
Yes.
You know, for that, and so I say to myself almost every day, okay, you got to get these books written. So, you know, I'm just actually moving toward, I won't say waiting for, I love that. I'm telling you, you're just so inspiring. I'm moving toward, you know, that point where I can write. I have books for teenagers, books for entrepreneurs, books for college students. Those are some of the, and then books for people that were hurt very, very badly,
and
don't know how to get over the hurt.
Well, see, that's important, because what happens, we talk about this so much, it's about keep your eyes on the prize, and a lot of times we don't understand that the prize has to be something that you visualize. I know as you, as well as I, anybody who teaches, especially on the college level, you have to visualize yourself doing that. I mean, before I even taught any college course, I saw myself in the classroom. I saw myself doing what I feel is my purpose. And I think, again, the first thing that we need to talk about when you're talking about moving to the next level, you have to really identify your purpose. And the more simpler you can make it, the better it is for you. Like for me, my purpose, and I really bring it down to three words, and I call it my E words, you know, I call it the three E's, and I'm going to talk about the three P's, but my purpose, as I see it, is to empower, to educate, and to entertain. Now, when I'm going through my day, I'm going through my life, I'm asking myself, what am I doing to empower other people? What am I doing to educate other people? What am I doing to entertain other people? A lot of people don't realize, especially when you teach on college level, especially when you teach in seminars and workshops and that kind of stuff, you're about entertainment, whether you like it or not. And I don't think that's a bad word. As a matter of fact, I look in hip-hop culture, and there was a artist back in the day. His name was KRS-One, and his name stood for Knowledge Reign Supreme Over Nearly Everyone. And he was saying, he came with this concept, was really the title of one of his albums at that time, We now we call them CDs. But the title of the CD was Edutainment. Edutainment. Entertainment and education combined. And I feel my purpose in life is to empower not only those who I speak to, but also myself, to educate myself constantly. You know, I believe in lifelong learning, and to entertain. And when I say entertain, you look at, I mean, sometimes I go to churches just to study the preacher's delivery, how he puts things together. And for me, it's entertaining, but also it is empowering, also it is educational. But the thing is that you have to know what your purpose is, because if not, you can get sidetracked so easily. I mean, this world is full of sideshows and distractions, wrong paths, and that kind of stuff. I love what Bill Withers says in his documentary called Still Bill. He says that, you know, as we go through life, we have to realize that we have to go through all right to get to wonderful. And for many people, they get stuck at all right, which is nothing wrong with that. But again, they have to understand that there is also wonderful. And if you can get past all right, you can get to wonderful. But there's things you have to do to get to that. And I know for me, I talk about the three E's, empowerment, education, entertainment. But the three P's are even more important. And you mentioned one of them. And again, we talk about the three P's. What I'm saying there is that you have to have that passion. That's the thing that drives you. That's the thing that you would do whether you got paid for it or not. Persistence. You have to keep with it, because if you don't finish it, I tell people who want to write books, I say the first thing you have to do is to finish it. Even if it's not perfect, finish it from beginning to end. Then you go back and edit and that kind of stuff. But again, you have to persist to the end. And the last thing is patience. I mean, sometimes we beat ourselves up because we're not moving as fast as we think we should, but it takes patience. I mean, it wasn't done in a day. It never was. Even God took, you know, more than one day to put everything together. So obviously we need to have patience as well. And sometimes we beat ourselves up. We try to, you know, do things that accelerate our growth and our development. But sometimes it takes patience. That's why along our journey, especially when you're trying to be the extraordinary person, you really have to take time for rest. Rest is so important, especially at 60 and going to that 60, that whole era right there. You have to really understand that rest. And that deep rest and deep sleep is so important, because that's when you rejuvenate yourself. And as you rejuvenate yourself, you can go back in the game and pursue that passion, that persistence, and that patience. But you have to have a master plan. You have to know what you're about, and you have to know why you're about it. And I think that's one of the keys, you know, plan your work and work your plan.
Yes, yes, yes. That is so, so good. Plan your work and work plan. Well, you're teaching some good stuff here, Terry, as usual. And I hope that the people, well, I know they are. I don't even have to hope. I know. I don't have, it's not even about hoping, because we're living on purpose.
Well, then that's the point. That's the point.
Yeah, we're not just living. Me and a lady in Cleveland, we used to say, we're not living life, we're living destiny.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's what it is. And I think, again, I'm working on a book with a gentleman, and he's in his 70s, and the book is entitled Destined to Be Born, because his wife, his mother had about 5 miscarriages before he came along. So he really felt that he was destined to be born. I know for myself, my personal story is my mother had me when she was 14 years old. Now, I understand that, you know, I know there were pressure for her to abort and do other things, but she said, well, I'm going to keep my baby, and she raised me. I was raised by my mother and my grandmother. But the thing that was so funny was, you have to understand, because my mother was 14, I remember going to the movies with her, and she was taking me to the movies with her. I was like her little buddy. And I know that I was destined to be born, because everything that I got from her, you know, she's not a college graduate. She barely finished high school. But, again, her practical wisdom was something that really helped me through my early years, because, again, I didn't know what my purpose was. I had no idea that I would go to college. That was totally out of the question. But then, again, I found that, you know, when you have destiny, you move to that destiny, and you have to understand that you have to have the clarity of purpose so you don't get sidetracked. I just want to share one quote with you. before we move on. This is from a book called Aspire. And the book is called Aspire, and it says here, three powerful strategies for creating more of what you want now. This is from Ole Carlson, O-L-E, Carlson. And he says here about finding your purpose, and I really love this. He says here, your purpose, either personal or professional, establishes your red carpet and keeps you between the velvet ropes and away from adoring and selective distractions that reach out to you as you walk along that red carpet toward your vision. And then this is the point. It allows you to resist the temptation of participating in immediate, self-gratifying short-term gains that can result in devastating long-term losses. It provides you with the momentum and focus to work through short-term losses for life-enhancing long-term gains. And this is from the book Aspire. And I think what it's saying here is that along the way to your success, along the way to your victory, there will be distractions, but don't stay too long in the distractions. Because a lot of times we get distracted and we forget what our purpose is. We go to things and do things that may be good for somebody else, but it's not good for us because we can't afford that kind of distraction. I was talking to one of my friends, talking about, you know, these professional athletes, you know. And the thing is, you know, their big distraction is drugs and women. And the thing is that the drugs definitely cloud your vision, and the woman, if it's not your wife, really sort of take you to a whole nother level, because you can't sustain that kind of relationship or involvement. And ultimately, it's a waste of time for both parties because there's no future in that. And that's definitely not part of your purpose. It's, and a lot of people think, well, you know, men do it for sport. Well, I think men do it because, again, lack of appreciation from other people, but also lack of appreciation for themselves. You know, we all want to be appreciated, and I think if men would tell the truth about some things, I think sometimes men want appreciation more than women. I think women are rooted in a different thing than men. And unless we're rooted in our purpose, we'll be all over the place, you know. And I think that's one of the reasons why we don't have more than we could have is because we get so lost in the distraction, and we think the distraction is part of our purpose, not realizing the distraction is exactly what it says it is. It is a distraction. It means that it is moving from our purpose into something else. And unless we develop the maturity, and that's one of the things about being 60 and beyond, is that you develop the maturity to know when you're off course, when you're off purpose. And sometimes as when we're younger, we don't think about that. But I think, again, I was telling my father, who was 77, and we could talk about the fact that, you know, if you get to 60, you're pretty much on the road to 70, 80, and 90, et cetera. If you're 60, so for some reason, I think that's a big transition period because, you know, when you start at 60, you have to pay more attention to your body. Because the body changes, the body does different things that you didn't have to deal with before, you know. And I think what happens is that we have to understand these changes are all part of the process. I mean, change is good, but it has to be managed change. It has to be a change that doesn't overwhelm us to the point we feel that we have no control of our lives, because in the final analysis, we do have control. Not only everything, there's some things that we can't control. And that's when attitude comes in, you know. Les Brown always says, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. But you know what? In the bigger picture, it's all small stuff. That's the point with that, you know.
So many nuggets of wisdom and so many examples of this lifelong learning and life learning. I'm telling you, it is truly, truly a blessing, and especially for individuals who are tuned into this show, who are counselors, coaches, motivational speakers, trainers, you know, this is a great place to gather this wonderful, wonderful information and take it back and use it. Parents, please, don't just come onto the show and say, you know, listen and say, oh, that was a great show. Mm-hmm. No, use it on your children. This is what's going to help them. I tell you, I know it helped me. It's the kind of stuff that my mother used on me. And I often said, you know, my mother used to, you know, use quotes pretty much. Mm-hmm. That's how she raised us, was through quotes and through sayings. Now, she never told, she never, you know, went as far as to quote where they came from, you know. I didn't know if it was coming from Bible or Napoleon Hill or Dwayne Dyer, because she listened to all those people.
Uh-huh.
It was,
well,
you know,
that's funny. But it's funny because, you know, I think that I think one of the things that I really want to stop and address very briefly is the fact, and this is what's kind of sad too about, especially I'm going to speak in the African American culture, in African American culture, and it's so sad, and I see all the time, you know, I always say that we have a female culture and a male culture, and in the female culture, reading is really important. And the male culture is not so important. In the female culture, women read fiction, they like romance. And in the male culture, most men read nonfiction, which is good. They want to know how to do something. But the thing that I want to address just briefly is the fact that I think, you know, and this is what I encourage in my house with me and my wife, you know, sometimes I will get a book and I say, look, well, why don't you and I study this book together? Let's read this together. Okay, you read a chapter, I read a chapter, and we talk about it. Because I believe and I know for a fact is that you can't make a change for something different unless you have new information. And that's what it is, and that's what we try to give on this program. Try to give you new information, give you some other things to think about. Because, again, we get too comfortable as human beings. I mean, we get into that comfort zone, and it's nice, and it's cozy, and it's comfortable. And we don't want to break out of that, but the thing is, there is no growth in the comfort zone. You have to come out of that. And some of us are pulled out, you know, kicking and screaming, but we have to understand that by getting out of the comfort zone that we are on the road to finding our purpose, finding our destiny. And the thing is in that because men don't read, women can't have the kind of conversation that they want to have. And in the final analysis, and you can appreciate this a lot more than some, Lisa, is that, I mean, is the fact that, you know, the man, his job, his purpose is to take the lead whether he likes it or not. I mean, he's the one who has to be the entrepreneur. He's the one that has to be that community leader. He's that individual that has to be a role model whether he likes it or not. I mean, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to be in the spotlight, but we realize that, you know what, we have to take the lead because by doing that, that's our role, and our wives can play their roles. Our wives, our girlfriends, those people who count on us. But we can't take any kind of leadership position unless we have education. You know, I mean, I feel I'm a very intelligent person, but that's only because I'm constantly reading. I'm constantly reading. I'm talking to people who know a lot more than I do, who have more qualifications than I do. I try to hang around people who can teach me something. And again, that goes back to reading. You know, you have to read because I think reading is a form of meditation. Reading is a form of taking time out. Reading is a form of rejuvenation because, again, new ideas. And new ideas feed upon different ideas. And then when we come out here in the world, we have something to say, you know. We have the power and we have true abundance. And true abundance is not just the monetary, we realize that the monetary is the spiritual and also it's the mental as well. Mm. So it's spiritual, is mental, and we put these things together, and this is how we grow. And again, I know for myself, I don't want to be the same person I was last year. If I'm not a different person, when I'm thinking differently, then I haven't done anything. I've been stuck in the comfort zone, and there's no growth there. So I'm not growing. I mean, either you grow or you die. And again, I'd rather take the other alternative, and I'd rather grow because the more you grow, the more you have to offer. But again, the more that you have to give to your community because in the final analysis, we are from a community. We're not in isolation. We're not here on our own. We're not on an island by ourselves. We are in community with other people, and people look for this. But I think my whole thing, again, is just men, you know, you got to step it up, man. You really have to step it up. You got to be that role model, and I think you got to really get that new information so you can help people help themselves. You know, I think that's what it comes down to.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you're talking this morning, for those of you who are just tuning in, about taking the lead, the next level, taking the lead in your life. I'm so glad you're talking about that. It's right on point and on target with something that I've been saying for two women that I've been dealing with every day with one of the women's groups that I deal with. One group that I deal with them twice a week. The other group I'm with them 4 or 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And one of the and I just started them doing affirmations.
Oh, great. That's great. Yeah.
Affirmations. And one of the last affirmation of the six of them. But one says, I am in control of my own death.
I love that.
Yes. And, you know, I tell you, I always had heard how powerful affirmations were. And, you know, but, you know, I've been like an Energizer Bunny, you know, with or without. Because there's something about when you're in hell, burning up, and that fire don't leave you when you come out. So
yeah, well that's just the thing. And on the affirmations, you know, I mean, it quiet as it's kept. I mean, I look at some of your books, and those affirmations, you've got the power. That's an affirmation. You know,
okay.
That's 60. That's an affirmation.
Wow.
I mean, it's so funny. I've been talking about this for such a long time. You know. And again, you know, and you become what you think about, you know. You keep on saying, well, you know, I'm sexy at 60. And guess what? You become that. People are drawn to that.
Wow.
You know? What affirmation I like that, you know, this is from the book Inspire. It says here, I am in control of my feelings, and I'm feeling better with each breath. Louise Hayes, she is what I call the queen of affirmation. And she says, again, in the morning, you should look in the mirror, look into your own eyes and say, I love you. I love you, whatever your name is. You know, I love you, Terry. I love you, Belisa. You know, I love you. I think that you're a great person. I think that you're doing all that you can within your circumstances. And we need to do that. We need to affirm every day that I'm living my purpose. Every day I said, again, I'm about empowerment. I'm about education. I'm about entertainment. And when I go into my classroom, that's what I do. When I go to class, if we don't do anything else, we do 5 things. Okay, every day, every class I teach, every day of my life, every day I write something, every day I read something, every day I listen to something, every day I view something. Okay, so it's reading, writing, talking, listening, and viewing. And those are 5 things in class. And you know, we watch a little video, we write something. We listen to something, we have conversations and that kind of thing. And so no matter what happens, we always something going into my class. You know, what you do, Professor Benjamin, class today? Well, we wrote something, we read something, we talked about something, we listened to something, we viewed something. And every day we do this. And I told the students, I said, this is something that you do 7 days a week because it's what I do. Every day I do this. You know, and again, that's where you have to understand what you put into your brain really affects your life. You know, if you put garbage in, you get garbage out. But if you put some good things in it, it's almost like a mental diet, a mental and a spiritual diet. You try to feed yourself things that are going to empower you, things that are going to educate you, things that are going to entertain you, because there's nothing wrong with entertainment. I mean, I like a good laugh as much as the next person, because I think laughter, joy, is something that we all aspire to. I mean, one of our goals in life is to be happy. You know, we do things that make us happy. I don't think anybody's going to do something that makes us unhappy unless they think they're forced to do it. Like sometimes we go to jobs that we don't like, you know, and we're unhappy. But I tell you, anybody, I say, okay, well, you don't like your job. You know, I hate my job. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you like what you get paid? Oh, yeah, I love that day. Well, think about this, you know. When you're working to get paid, and that's your reward. Okay, so there is rewards. I mean, it's not like you're doing something for nothing. And people understand that they call it work for a reason. You know, it's work. It's not play. you know. And the thing is, and you as well I know, what you do is you make your work your play. So you enjoy it. When I'm in class, I'm playing. You know, but I'm working.
I was gonna say, yeah, yeah. Work to play. If you set it up that way, but
yeah.
Most people are never taught that until they tune into the Terry Benjamin or the Coach Lily show.
Yes. And it's such a simple thing. It's such a simple thing, and you would think that everybody would know this. We live in a top down when we understand that you got to simplify. I mean, you know, big is not always better, okay? Sometimes big can be a big problem because, you know these companies, they would say they were too big to fail. No, they weren't too big to fail, you know? They were too big to survive the way they were doing business. They had to break it down. They had to simplify, you know? Because, again, I mean, that's what life is about. My father, like I said, one of my role models, you know, he was telling me, you know what I mean? At, you know, 77, I mean, he said his life is very, very simple. He lives not in his own home, but he lives in a senior citizen's apartment building, you know, which, again, you know, is a lot different from what he was used to. But you know what? He said it's okay. He said it's okay because at this particular point, he doesn't want to get out there and shovel snow and all do those other things that I have to do at my house, you know. And so for him, it's simplify, simplify, simplify. And because, again, you want to make things simple, you know, not easy, you know, never easy, but, you know, we don't run the way that we used to run. I mean, again, I'm 61. I'm not 21. I mean, I'm not running to the club and this and that and all this stuff because, you know, I have no reason to do that, you know. I mean, there's no reason for that. I don't believe that. And one last thing I want to do before I go into something else here, I want to read this quote, and this is from Henry David Thoreau. And he says here, as you simplify your life, the laws of the universe will be simpler. Solitude will not be solitude. Poverty will not be poverty, nor weakness be weakness. Okay, so again, he's saying that, you know, again, we have to look at life in a different way. I mean, you know, some people are afraid of solitude, but I know for myself that when I'm in my solitude, that's when the best ideas come to me. I mean, I can't really think deeply around a whole bunch of people, you know. Sometimes you got to turn off the TV and the radio and turn off the mindless chatter and just look into yourself and get inside yourself and see what's going on with you. I know for myself and you as well as writers, sometimes we don't know what we really think about until we start writing. Because when we write, we get into a subconscious mind and start pulling things out and examine. For the last two nights, Monday and Tuesday, they had a documentary on Woody Allen. Each segment was 90 minutes, and 90 minutes with no commercial. Now, Woody Allen is in his 70s, and in his late 70s as well. He's been making movies like one a year. He's made over 50 movies now, and some of them have been hits, some of them have been misses, but he keeps on doing it, and he was showing his process. He writes down different things and different scraps of paper. He went to the drawer and took out all these papers and put it on the bed, and then he was looking through these different scraps of paper, and each of the paper has some kind of idea. So he looked at the idea. He read the idea, and said, "Now it's not so good." He put it away. He looks at something else. But the point is that he's constantly shifting through his thoughts, shifting through his ideas to come with the better idea. Like you said, you're working on many different books at the same time. I do the same thing. I'm working on many different projects. And as I'm working on something, then I might, you know, get a little bored with that and I'll move on to something else. But I get back to what I've been doing, because the thing is that you have to understand that these projects have to be finished, because a lot of times I talk to people about they want to write a book, and some of them have been writing the Great American Novel for the past 20 years. I said, look, you know, man, I like, get some of these things out there. I mean, you don't have any purpose. That's the beautiful thing about writing. That's why they have edition 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because you can always rewrite, and as you learn more about yourself, about your subject, you can go back and do another edition. So the thing is that you never waste an idea, but you have to be in a situation where you slow down and you focus on what it is to be focused on for that moment. I mean, my students, some of them have a hard time with focus. You know, you ask them to write for half an hour or 45 minutes, and they get all distracted, and they think they're finished. They write a couple of, you know, sentences, and then they figure that's a paragraph. Well, let's do it again. As a matter of fact, let's do it again. This time, let's proofread, because that's the biggest thing. You know, they write and write and write, but they don't look at it because they just want to get finished, not realizing that the process. I think life is a journey. And like I said, like Bill Withers said in his film, you know, going from all right to wonderful, that's a journey. But when we get to wonderful, guess what? There's more. See, that's the thing. A lot of people understand that once you read your goals, what do you do before this? I mean, one of my goals was to be a writer. Okay, I achieved that goal. One of my goals was to be a published writer. Okay, I achieved that goal. Then after that goal, I realized that, you know, I had another goal. The next goal was to publish other writers. And now my goal is to do films, start with documentaries and move on to fiction films. So I'm saying, as you move through your life, as you reach your goals, there's other goals to reach. There's other mountains to climb. We never stop, because for me, to stop is death, and nobody wants that. I mean, that opposite of life is death, you know. The opposite of you not pursuing your purpose is to do nothing. And although there are some people who are dead in their dreams and their thoughts and their feelings, but they haven't had enough sense to fall down. But they're done. They're finished. But, you know, they're still walking this planet, and, you know, and sometimes it's pitiful. And that's why, you know, I tell you, you're never, never, never too old to do what you're here to do. My father, he is 77. He's a DJ. He's a photographer. He's a community activist, you know. And he says that this is what he does. This is what his life is about. And the thing is, I know for myself, you know, you look at your mother and your father, and my mother, she's not a community activist, but she is one of the people, when they open up the mall for senior citizens to walk the mall to get the exercise, she's one of the first ones to do that. She's always going to Atlantic City. She gambles only a little bit, but for her, it's an outing. You know, she has to get out of her environment. And she told me and taught me that, you know what, you can't just get stuck in your comfort zone. You got to really to move out. And to do things and to try new things, and she's always about that. And so I'm saying, I think that your parents really are important. I mean, I think, you know, we talk about role models, and we always look at celebrities and that kind of thing, but I look at my parents, and I look at my mother, and I look at my father, and these are people who are well up into their 70s, who are living what I consider very vital and very rich lives, and they're an inspiration to many people, not only myself, but not only just my brother and my sister, but other people who encounter them. Because I think the final analysis is that, you know, and not you shouldn't preach a sermon, you should be a sermon. And if I say I'm 60 at 60, and people say, well, you don't look 60, well, that's showing the proof of that pudding. As a matter of fact, again, there's an affirmation, you know, the affirmation, sexy at 60, you know, keep on saying it, and you become that. You know, whatever it is, you know, I'm a great writer. You know, you keep on saying that, you become that. I'm a great publisher. You keep on saying that, you become that. I'm a great husband. I'm a great father. I'm a great wife. I'm a great mother. I'm a great homemaker. You know, you say these things a lot of times. You know, people understand that when you speak a thing, that thing becomes reality. You know, Wayne Dyer also talks about the art of manifestation, the art of manifesting what you will. You say something. You talk about true abundance, and you make that happen. One of my favorite people is a gentleman named Michael Bernard Beckwith, and he talks about true abundance, and he talks about living life from the overflow. Because, again, we don't need a whole lot of things, but the things that we need, that we're in the right place, will come to us sort of out of the blue. I know, same thing with me. I mean, I thought about this movie, Sexy at 60, but I had no resources. But then, you know, as I thought more about it, it's almost like I put something out to the universe, and guess what? The resources came to me. I met a cinematographer. I met some other people. I met some actors and actresses and who want to work with me and whatnot. So I'm saying that, you know, again, it goes to the law of attraction. What you want, what you need will come to you if you're in the right arena. And we're in the right. I mean, I'm in the right arena. I mean, my whole thing, again, I guess I said, you know, about empowerment, about education, entertainment. Well, I'm in that field. And because I'm in that field, people are attracted to me, and I'm attracted to them. And we work together to fulfill our purpose. And I think, again, that's why I think it's so important to be around like-minded people. Because if you're not, you can't tell somebody something when they can't see it. And like-minded people see it. I mean, when you talk about your books, at least I see the books already written. You know, I see them on the shelf. I see them flying off the shelves. I see them being bestsellers. I think one of the things about maturity is the fact that I know I was successful, not because I was making a whole lot of money and whatnot, but I know I was successful when I was happy for the success of other people and didn't find it as any kind of threat. I'm glad you're selling books. I'm glad you're doing TV and radio and that kind of thing. I'm happy for you, and I genuinely mean that. And I think, again, when you put that out, you're happy for other people, guess what? They become happy for you. And they are more than willing to help you. I mean, I know there's people who I never thought I'd be able to speak with, you know, but I spoke to them, and they were happy to have me speak to them. How about that, you know, which is a revelation to me, but because a lot of times you don't realize your power. You don't realize your influence until you're in a situation where the spotlight is on you, and you have to, as they say, show and prove. And it's not hard
okay.
to do because, I mean, you know, this is what you do.
Right.
What you do.
Well, you know what? We have a few callers on the line. I wanted to see if anyone, in the chat room, it's people have been coming and going. So give a shout out to those who are in the chat room. Those who are on the phone line listening, we thank you for tuning in to the show with Mr. Terry Benjamin each and every Tuesday, talking about healthy aging and lifelong living. That's his main thing, but in each week he comes with a different topic. But he's also the author of Sexy at 60. And just in case anybody had a comment or a question for Mr. Benjamin, if you hit your number one key, we will open up your phone lines and allow you to do that. Before we go on with the show, I just wanted to make that space and time, and I know some of you have your phones. If you're in the chat room and you'd like to post a question that you'd like for me to ask Mr. Benjamin, you would have to sign in. I see many people are signed in as guests, but you would have, don't be afraid. Sign in as who you are. It's okay. And put your name, you know. And so, and then you can type your question in the chat room. Have a wonderful day. Speaking of Sexy at 60, I had to say goodbye. My Sexy at 61. That's a good thing. Like you said about your dad, my Sexy at 60 is on his way to his job.
Wow,
and,
okay.
Yes, it's a blessing. He absolutely loves his job. But, yes, if anyone has a comment or a question, and so we see the chat room is buzzing, and not able to make comments, though, until you would have to sign in and get a pass if you weren't to. But if not, I'm going to go to this small commercial, and then when we come back, we're going to continue talking to professor, author, playwright, movie maker, you name it. Big, y'all. He's doing it big, or like my good friend Cynthia says, do it big or go home. So listen to this.
Do you like to shop?
I like it.
Well, come out on Friday, November 25th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. for the Vendor Expo. You will get an opportunity to purchase right from local vendors in your area. Get those special items for that special someone or for your family members for this holiday season. This Vendors Expo is the first of its kind here in Newark, New Jersey. The event is hosted by Sister to Sister and Sisters in the Spirit. For more information, contact Angela Vett at 973-573-2494 or Lil Lisa at 908-432-1853. If you are a vendor, you still may have an opportunity to reserve your table. Vendor tables are only $50, and they are going fast. So make that call, 973-573-2494 or 908-432-1853. Remember, get your shop on Friday, November 25th at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Where? At Sisters in the Spirit joining together for their first Vendor Expo. This event will give small business owners the opportunity to showcase their businesses, to network, to make money. And it will give shoppers a chance to shop until you are ready to drop, all while networking at the same time. Now, if you are a customer, you do not have to pay any entrance fee. You just come in, shop, take part of the holiday spirit, come out and meet wonderful vendors who have wonderful items, food items, clothes items. There will be jewelry, there will be paintings, so many vendors there. Every kind of item you can think of will be there. There will be authors there. Many, so don't forget, mark your calendars, come and shop. You're not going to be there all day, but you still have time to make it to your other favorite stores. Again, Friday, November 25th, come out to the first Vendors Expo in Newark, New Jersey at the Marriott Hotel, the Marriott Courtyard Hotel, which is located in Newark, New Jersey on Routes 1 and 9 South. That's the Marriott Courtyard on Routes 1 and 9 South in Newark, New Jersey. Again, if you have questions, call Angela Vett, 973-573-2494, or Lilisa at 908-432-1853. We'll see you there.
All righty. We're back. Mr. Benjamin, you're still with us.
Yes, still here.
Yes.
I love that commercial that you just did, because I think what happens, I think, you know, again, it's about empowerment. I think so many of us have really brought into the idea that, you know, life just happens, that we have no control of it, that, you know, like you, Lisa, and Cherry, oh, they're such lucky people. No, it's not luck. I think what it is preparation, meaning opportunity, okay? I'm always looking for opportunities, and I know you are as well. And I think sometimes we have to go back to, I remember when I was growing up, I don't know if you lived in this area, but at one time what happened, we had this fruit truck come by. And the fruit truck, they had watermelons, they had apples and peaches and pears and whatnot. And this guy would drive through the neighborhood, and then you'd have the ice cream man come through the neighborhood, you know. You'd have this guy coming through the neighborhood shining shoes, okay. All these services coming to us. Now we have to go to the mall and that kind of thing. But I go back to the whole thing about the African marketplace. When people are bringing their goods and services to the marketplace, I think we need to get back to that. I tell my son, I said, I don't know, I don't care what you do, but you have to understand, whatever you do, if it's to make money, it has to be of service to somebody. You have to provide a service. And whatever that service is, you have to do it so well that people look for you. Wow, when is he coming through this way? You know, where is he at? I wanna buy what he has to buy, but we have to package it in a way that it is sellable. We have to package it in a way that it is empowering for people, educational and also entertaining. But we have to, again, I love college, I love education, whatnot, but I tell my students, it's not what you got you getting a degree, it's really about you developing skills, talents, and abilities that you can bring to the marketplace. And for me, because we know there are people who have MAs, PhDs, and everything else, but they can't find a job. They can't get a job. Because I think, again, you have to ask yourself, what do I bring to the marketplace? What is the thing that I can do so it has value in the marketplace? Because the final analysis, you have to sell something. That's what money is about, you know. You give a service, and in exchange for that service, you get money. Whether it's teaching, whatever it is that you're doing, that's
you're walking
the line.
Yeah, you could be walking a dog. You could be like my neighbor who does lawn care.
Yes.
You're a caterer. You could do hair. Do nail. You know what? There are people who do hair, and then what happened in America in the past 20 years? People start selling hair.
It became
one of the biggest. It became one of the biggest industries in the United States. Right there under healthcare problem. No, I'm just kidding. But
yeah. Well, you know, but it's funny because I was at a retreat this weekend. I went on a retreat, a men's retreat, and one of the speakers was Dale Bonner, and Bonner he is. You know, really with the family, the Bonner family, which are really big in terms of hair care products. And his name was Bishop Dale Bonner. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, we are spiritual men, but also we are fleshly men in the sense that, you know, we need to have someone to take care of our families, and we can't talk about it because there's a recession and that kind of stuff. That has nothing to do with it. We still have to do what we have to do. And so you have to find a way, you have to find a product that can do it. Because Bonner, they do the hair care show, they do the hair care expos. Also, they have a magazine that they do. It's a family business, and I think what we have to understand, and I know as I get older, I'm more into looking at my family. I mean, in this household, we have three adults. We have three adults, and we have one child. The three adults, we work together as a little corporation, and we bring money in, and we just say, well, this is for this, this is for that, and that kind of thing. I mean, we have to really live intelligently. We have to live on purpose. One of these speakers, it was a conference called Men on Fire, and this is Men on Fire 7, so this is like 7 times that they did this. And the theme was the perfect man. And basically was saying that, you know, we have to aspire. We have to aspire to perfection. We will probably never meet perfection, but we have to aspire. And Bishop Dale Bonner was one of the speakers. Another speaker was Dr. Buster Soares. And he just actually published a book that I brought called D-Free, Breaking Free from Financial Slavery. And in his church, one of the messages of the church is to make all his parishioners debt-free. You know, some of us are just so into debt that we can't think about any kind of increase because we're bogged down in it. But again, the way you got into that debt, there is a way out of it. Because, you know, we have to understand that one of the things in this country, in this community right now, is the circulation of money. I mean, I tell my family, you know, you don't sit on money. You know, you let it circulate. You know, we went to this conference. We heard some very good speakers, but I find for most people, yourself and I included, when we go to speak, we don't just go to speak, but we go to sell our books and our CDs and our DVDs because that's all part of the message. And I think the thing that's interesting is because that I see more men getting out on the road and really just delivering these messages, you know, through their books and through their CDs and through their DVDs. But in the final analysis, you know, you have to have a way. You have to have something to bring to the marketplace. And also you have to really find a way to deliver it in the best possible way because people are hungry for what we know. And because Buster Soares says in his book, he says here that consumer debt is slavery. Lasting freedom is available. If you want to be free, my friend, then take the first step and turn the page. Sometimes, you know, here we go back to reading. And one time they said it was an old joke and it was sort of sad, but it's true. They said if you want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book. Now, I hope that's different now. I hope that that's still not true. But a lot of times, you know, a lot of us don't want to crack a book, you know. And if we don't, and I said, well, there's a solution to that. I tell myself, well, Professor Benjamin, I'm so busy. I said, I'm busy too, but you know what? Okay, let's do this. Okay, you don't want to read a book? Why don't you just get an audio book, okay? Get the same book, okay? But as you're driving your car, put in the audio book. So as you're driving, you're being read to. You're getting the same information, but it's a different way because, like I said before in the beginning of our program, you can't really do something new without new information, okay? Like Les Brown said, if you want to keep on getting what you're getting, keep on doing what you're doing. To go to the next level is to be in a position where it's like lifting weights, okay? You start with 50, you go to 100, you go to 150, but it's a process. But you can't go back. If you're doing 150 weights, you don't go back to the 50. You just keep on doing that to the point where, you know, you grow and you find your growth because you can see your body, you can see your growth, you can see development. I think sometimes we sort of try to measure our success in terms of monetary things, but sometimes it's not there. I measure my success in terms of my relationship with my wife and my family and my very close friends. You know, that's my measure for success. You know, that's a very quiet type thing. If my friends and family appreciate me, then I feel like I've done my job, you know. That's what it comes down to.
Yes, that's good. And, you know, when you talk about this going to the next level, you know, what should a person do next in some steps, what can a person do, you know, to get to their next level? I know you talked about, you know, getting out of your comfort zone.
Right. But I think, again, they should, then again, like I said before, identify your passion, okay? Once you identify that passion, you ask yourself, what am I doing? What am I doing to take it to the next level? Like I said, going from all right to wonderful. What do I have to do to get to wonderful? Okay? How can I empower myself more? How can I educate myself more? How can I become more of an entertainer in my purpose? And I think what it comes down to, you got to actually write out a mission statement for yourself.
Yeah.
What is your mission? Because, again, because I mean, Lisa, you can't hit the target if you don't know what the target is.
Okay? It's going to be hard.
Yeah, moving to the next level is identifying that target and doing whatever you can to reach that target.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to.
Hit that target, design that target. And here's what I love about this broadcast, this show, is that we bring people on that are here to help you reach the target. But for those of you who want more, let's just say you're overly, you know, committed to this, to the improvement of your life. You know, Terry, we now have the Life Makeover Parties.
I love that, yeah.
And the last one we did at the hotel in Newark was very successful. We have another one coming up at the same hotel we've been working with. But what you're saying is exactly where we're at. We're doing it. We're going out to empower people. But for those people who you need the support to set those goals and those objectives, to tap into your passion and your purpose, we have the life coaching tools to help people. You know, Terry, there are so many people, and I'm just feeling this. I know it because I know that's who I was. All those people like me, they wanted to do, but they just didn't know how. Or once you start doing, you're going to get, sometimes you get a little tired, you get frustrated. You need those, you need like a cheerleader almost, a coach.
Of course,
somebody,
of course.
Yes, to support you and to tell you to keep going when you feel like giving up. Not if you feel like giving up, when. Because you will get tired. You will feel like giving up because why? Whatever project you're working on, it's not going to happen overnight.
Exactly. Well, I'm saying that's where the three P's come in, like I was saying before. That's where, you got, again, the passion, the persistence, and the patience.
Yeah.
You got to have all three going together, passion, persistence, and patience, because, again, you're going to need that along your journey. You're going to need all three, and you're going to need all three in large amounts.
Yes, in large amounts. And so I encourage you, we know we're almost down to the last probably minute of the show. I know, right, the time, you can't believe it, 2 minutes left goes
Lisa,
fast.
I have listened to archives because sometimes I don't know what we talked about because it's in such a beautiful flow.
Well, we want people to definitely, we have about 11 people in the chat room, which is great. We thank everyone for tuning into the show. We hope that you start signing in so that you can post your questions and make your comments right there in the chat room. And also, we thank those who are listening by phone. We know some will call back in and listen to the archives as we continue to get the word out. I know as I was down in Carolina, I was telling people about the show. And as I be, travel around the country, I'll be telling people about the show. And even around the world, wherever I travel, I will let people know to tune in to the Coach Lalisa show. Please, there's just so many great things coming up. And Mr. Terry Benjamin, we want to try as much as we can to make him a part of it. But I do have another event that I host at 8 o'clock, so we can have the show. But, Terry, are there any closing remarks from you?
Well, I just want to say, that next level is available to you. You just have to clarify your purpose and go for it and realize that wherever you want to go, there's people who have been there before, so you don't have to worry about that because I always say, Jim Rohn likes to say, and I like to repeat what he says, success leaves clues.
Okay. Well, with that being said, we're going to leave you with that. Come back. We'll be here tomorrow, but Mr. Benjamin will be back next Tuesday, same place, with more nuggets of wisdom. But feel free to connect with him on Facebook. He's on the internet. He has his publishing company. If you'd like to get your book started and work with him,
contact him through in-house publishing or go right there to Facebook. That's the easiest way. Terry Benjamin, you can always, even if you're not his friend, you can always just send him a message. Let him know you listen to the show and you want to connect and find out more about the services that he has to offer. He's a speaker, author, coach, and many, many other things. Well, Mr. Benjamin, oh, it was a pleasure. I can't believe we're doing this, but you know what?
Thank you.
Amazing. We'll have to talk later for sure.
We will. We definitely will.
Everyone, have a powerful day. Try your best to go to that next level. Find your passion. Tap into it. Find your purpose. Find your power. Tap into it. If you can't, give us a call. I'm sure we'll be glad to help you. Well, this has been the Coach Lalisa with Mr. Terry.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.